ओम नमो भगवते वाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् Yatra,
where?
Idyante,
are worshipped or discussed.
Kata,
words.
Mrista,
pure.
Trisnaya,
of material hankerings.
Prasama,
satisfaction.
Yata,
by which?
Naivaram,
non-enviousness.
Yatra,
where?
Puteshu,
among living entities.
Not.
Udvega,
fear.
Yatra,
where?
Kaschana,
any.
Anyway, I jumped the gun on that. We'll read the whole verse.
Yatre dyante katamristas. Trisnaya prasamoyata nirvairam yatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kaschana yatredyante katamristas trisnaya prasamoyata nirvairam yatra bhuteshu Padvego yatra kashyana yatredyante katamristas trisnaya prasamoyata nirvairam yatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kashyana.
Go through the word meanings. Yatra,
where?
Idyante, are worshipped or discussed.
Kata,
words.
Mrista,
pure.
Trisnaya,
of material hankerings.
Prashama,
satisfaction.
Yata,
by which?
Nirvairam,
non-enviousness.
Yatra,
where?
Puteshu,
among living entities.
Na,
not.
Udvega,
fear.
Yatra,
where?
Kaschana,
any. Translation. Topics of the transcendental world are discussed. The members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. Please repeat. Whenever the pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. That is Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vaikuntha means without anxiety, and in the material world means full of anxiety. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Sada Samudvigna Vidyam Asat Grahat. The living entities who accepted this material world as a residence are full of anxiety. A place immediately becomes Vaikuntha whenever the holy topics of the personality of Godhead are discussed by pure devotees. This is the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing about the Supreme Lord Vishnu. As the Supreme Lord himself confirms,
Naham tisyami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshu va. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta.
My dear Narada, actually I do not reside in my abode, Vaikuntha, nor do I reside within the hearts of the yogis, but I reside in that place where my pure devotees chant my holy name and discuss my form, pastimes, and qualities. Because of the presence of the Lord in the form of the transcendental vibration, the Vaikuntha atmosphere is invoked. This atmosphere is without fear and anxiety. The living entity does not fear, one living entity does not fear another. By hearing the holy names and glorifying the and glories of the Lord, a person executes pious activities. Shrinvata Swatakatam Krishna Punya Shravana. Kirtanaha. Thus his material hankering immediately stops. The Sankirtan movement started by the Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for creating Vaikuntha, the transcendental world that is without anxiety, even in this material world. The method is the propagation of the Shravanam Kirtanam process throughout the world. In the material world, everyone is envious of his fellow man. Animalistic envy exists in human society as long as there is no performance of Sankirtan Yajna holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Prachetas therefore decided to remain always in the society of devotees, and they considered that to be the highest benediction possible in human life.
Om Gyanatmarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshrumitam Jinatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Barakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sarvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishwakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brindamaneshware Vrishabhanu Sute Deve Pranamami Hare Priye Ancha Gopatru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavane Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Garadhar Sivasni Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Once again, the verse. Wherever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. So we were very lucky to have a personal experience of this. The other day in class, Malati Mataji was saying how when you were in Prabhupada's presence and you would come to class, maybe 2 minutes before class, you might have had many things on your mind. You had many anxieties. You were stuck in your mind about this and that. But as soon as you saw Srila Prabhupada with his potency giving Bhagavatam class, everything was fine. Everything was perfect. There was no more anxiety. This was just an amazing occurrence that actually every devotee that I've ever spoke to felt. Prabhupada would simply say, is everything all right? And no matter what you felt previously, you would say, yes, Prabhupada, everything is all right, because he's given us the process for perfection, and he gave us the example for perfection. So many times he also would say, he would make some point, he would ask us to engage in devotional service. And he would say, what is the difficulty? And when Prabhupada would say it, there would be no difficulty. With Prabhupada's presence and backing, you felt like you could do anything. But our difficulty is actually described in the 7th chapter, 27th verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, tells Arjuna, conqueror of foes, everyone that is born into this world in delusion, and they are bewildered by the dualities of desire and hate. So we're caught up in this delusion, desire, and hate, and this is in everyone's position in this world. We have unfulfilled desires. Everyone has a different set of desires according to their mind and their past karma and activities. And they are struggling very hard to achieve their desires. And when they can't do it, they become hateful. They hate everything that blocks their way into achieving their desire. So this is our state in the conditioned world. So what is the solution for this problem? The solution is Divyajnana. Every day we sing Divyajnana Hriday Prakashita, that my spiritual master, we pray to our spiritual master, who opens our eyes and fills our heart with transcendental knowledge. So this transcendental knowledge is the solution to our problems, and along with a change of heart. So the beginning of transcendental, Sambandhagyan. Sambandhagyan means understanding our relationship to the Supreme Lord. We can pray to the deities of Sambandha, Madan Mohan, because we're all charmed by the desires of this world, by the objects of the senses in this world. But Krishna is more charming. So this Sambandhagyan actually gives us understanding of who we are in relationship to the Supreme Lord. We understand from scriptures that we're eternally Krishna's servants. This is a very simple proposition, but it's very, very deep and profound. As Krishna's servants, we have our highest hope and our highest happiness. And anytime we identify ourselves as something other than Krishna's servant, we run into problems, because we're identifying with some temporary materialistic situation. We may think, I'm an American, I'm a Russian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim, I'm tall, I'm short. All these things that we think, as soon as we say, I am, fill in the blank, something other than Krishna's servant, we're an illusion. So to understand that we're Krishna's servant, we have to understand Krishna, and part of Sambandhagyan is understanding our relationship with Krishna, which means relationship with everything. It's said in Bhagavad Gita that a great soul, he realizes Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, that Krishna is everything. So we can understand that Krishna has many different potencies and many different energies. We have to understand how we're related to all those energies. What is my relationship with each and every energy that makes up Krishna's totality? So we have to understand, as acting as Krishna's servant, what is my relationship with a man in the street or the woman in the street? What is the relationship with my God brothers? What is my relationship with the material energy? We have to be conscious of all these things. As a servant of Krishna, we see that we're not the enjoyer of this world, but we're the servant of Krishna, who is actually the enjoyer of this world. So therefore, we are not the enjoyer of each other. We are the servant of each other. Krishna is actually a supreme enjoyer. This was brought to mind the first time I went to the L.A. Temple, and the second time maybe I went to Los Angeles Temple in 1972. The devotees were very kind, and they invited me to say, why don't you come and spend the weekend? You can come and stay in the Brahmachari ashram. You can start learning about Krishna consciousness. So they said, okay, we'll show you the Brahmachari ashram, and this is where you'll stay, and we'll get up at 4:30, and we'll have Mangala Arati. And so they showed this. There's two rooms, so this is our ashram, and there was nothing in the room. So they said, well, this is where everyone sleeps. We're just practicing austerities, and you can come and stay in this room, lay down on the floor, go to sleep. And to kind of emphasize the point, there was a big banner on the top wall of the Brahmachari ashram that said, you are not the supreme enjoyer. So I thought, well, this is a very interesting point. But we understand who the supreme enjoyer is, and when we understand who the supreme enjoyer is, we become very happy. As Krishna says in the end of the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarva Maheshram Suridam Sarvabhutam Yatvamam Shantam Richtati. That actually Krishna is the enjoyer of all penances and sacrifice. He's the lord of all planets and demigods. And he's the well-wisher and friend of all living entities. And when one understands that, he can become actually peaceful and happy. So in understanding our relationship with Krishna, which means understanding our relationship with everything, we have to understand what is our relationship to, say, our God brothers and people in general. So it says in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee is a kind friend to all living entities. So we want to be friendly with everyone, but we also get instruction from Srila Rupa Goswami in the fifth verse of the Nectar of Instruction that we have different types of friends, that we see that some people are chanting Hare Krishna, and we offer that anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, we offer them respect in our mind. They may not be so strict, they may still have some material propensities, but because they're chanting Hare Krishna, they would consider them a friend. But although we may want to keep some distance if they're not fully engaged in the process and are just beginning their journey, we offer them all respect. But for the next class of person who's initiated in worshiping the deity, we offer our obeisances. We see this person has actually taken another step. So although we respect all living entities, we actually offer our obeisances to the person who has taken initiation and worshiping the deity. But then it said to the even a more advanced level, we see pure devotees, that we try and associate and serve faithfully the pure devotees who have pure devotion, uninterrupted, advanced devotional qualities, and who in their heart have given up the propensity to criticize every living being. So we see that type of devotee is completely non-envious. And it's, as it's stated in this verse, that when one is discussing the topics of the Lord, we become, all the envy goes away. So when people, there's some type of envy still in our heart. Of course, a guru will point out what needs to be said for the education of disciples. But that's not criticism. That's giving knowledge. And it's done with a point where it's coming from the point of no false ego. Prabhupada could tell you anything, and if you've told him you're a rascal or whatever he's telling you, were greatly appreciated. You wouldn't take any offense because you could see and you could feel that he was telling this for your benefit. And in fact, you would be grateful. When people are telling you things and they don't have any envy in their heart, then it's the greatest benediction. So this is the quality of this transcendental sound vibration, that one loses all material qualities. And when we understand this, we engage in the Shravanam, Kirtanam process, we'll slowly begin to feel Vaikuntha everywhere. A place with someone once asked Prabhupada, what does it feel like to be Krishna conscious? And this particular time he answered, to be completely fearless. So to be completely fearless means the main fear is the fear of death. But because of our condition, because we're surrounded by people who are overcome by delusion and desire and hatred, there is so much animosity and animal propensities of all types of people. So Darwin observed this. Jai Shri Shri Gaurinitai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Jai Shri Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jai. So in the material sense, people are very animalistic. And Darwin observed this in his so-called theory of evolution. He came to the conclusion that life goes on by the survival of the fittest. So the strong devour the weak. In the animal kingdom, a lion doesn't have any thought about eating another animal. And there's no karma for him also. But in the animal kingdom, one just devours another person. Another thing. One body is food for another body. So there's always this fear that someone in animal life, someone may take advantage of me, someone may want to consume me. And so even in so-called humans going on, that the big corporations, the people that are very greedy, animalistic people, they have no qualms about consuming other people. Let the strong, we're strong, let us consume the weak that don't have the intelligence, that don't have the money, that don't have the capacity. We'll just simply exploit them as much as we can, and it's too bad for them. So this is material life. This is animalistic life. And you can see the materialists, the people, the atheists, that don't have any faith in God or belief in God or any higher qualities, they like this Darwinian philosophy very much because it justifies their exploiting and consumption of all the resources of this world and the people of this world. So the devotees are just the opposite. They have great compassion. They feel, they're paradukha-dukhi, they feel the distress of other living entities. And therefore, they give by which one can free oneself and find out who he is and find out who is God. So it said, just when the sun rises, you can see the sun and you can also see yourself. So transcendental knowledge, when one realizes God, he can also know who God is and he can know who he is. So this is the potency of transcendental knowledge. So today is a special day, also Dasara, which is Durga Puja. So you're asked to mention something about this also. So I wanted to read a few things. What time is class supposed to end, by the way? 9? Okay, so we have a little time. So regarding Durga Puja, we have the information from a Vaishnava calendar that this occasion marks the occasion of Lord Rama and Brother Lakshman approaching Mother Durga to ask for her blessings in his planned attack on the demon Ravan. It is therefore considered that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is approaching her for blessings to remove material impediments to his spiritual goals, and that should be the approach of the humble devotee. So Lord Caitanya, he described Trinada Picha Sunichina Tarora Pisa Hishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadaha, that one should chant day of mine and be able to offer all respects unto others. So this is part of our, again, understanding of Sambandha Gyan, that if we're able to offer all respects to others and not expect any respect for ourselves, this is a very good formula for being able to chant constantly. So our respect includes respecting the demigods in this way. And as with the example of Lord Ram, he wasn't asking for a material benediction, but as the ideal king setting the example, he was asking for benediction, although he didn't need such a benediction, but it's an example. He asked for a benediction for his service, his divine service of protecting the devotees and destroying the miscreants. So Lord Chaitanya also gave instruction in this regard. And in the Adi Lila, in the 14th chapter, the verse, I'll read verses 48 through 50, describes in Lord Chaitanya's early pastimes. Sometimes the Lord would go with other children to bathe in the Ganga. And the neighborhood girls would also come there to worship various demigods. When the girls engaged in worshiping the different demigods after bathing in the Ganges, the young Lord would then come and sit among them. Addressing the girls, the Lord would say, "Worship me, and I shall give you good husbands or good benedictions. The Ganges and the goddess Durga are my maidservants. What to speak of other demigods? Even Lord Shiva is my servant." And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, "There is a misconception about the Hindu religion among people who profess other religions, such as Christians and Muslims, who say that in the Hindu religion there are many gods. But actually, this is not the fact. God is one. But there are many other powerful living entities who are in charge of different departments of administration. They are called demigods. All the demigods are servants who carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disclosed this fact in his childhood. Out of ignorance, sometimes people worship the demigods to receive some particular boon. But actually, one who becomes a devotee and worshiper of the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to go to the demigods for any benediction, because he obtains everything by the grace of the Supreme Lord." The Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verses 20 and 28, therefore condemns such demigod worship. "Only persons whose intelligence is lost and who are mad with lusty desires worship the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own nature. But persons who are freed from all sinful activities and the duality of delusion engage themselves in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with determination. Only the less intelligent worship the demigods for their various purpose. The most intelligent worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Sometimes we, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, are accused of not approving the worship of demigods. But how can we approve of this when it is condemned by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna? How can we allow people to become foolish and hrityana, bereft of intelligence? Our propaganda is simply meant to enable intelligent people to understand the distinction between matter and spirit and to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the whole spiritual identity. That is our mission. How could we mislead people into worshiping so-called gods in material bodies within this material world? Our position of not allowing worship of the many hundreds of demigods is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even in his childhood. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung in this connection. To become a staunch, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without deviation, Ananibak, one should not divert his attention to the worship of the demigods. Such control is a symptom of pure devotional service. So back to this point of Krishna is everything. Actually, all the demigods are included in Krishna's energy. But understanding the distinction is very important. And Prabhupada says here, understanding the distinction between matter and spirit and understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the whole spiritual identity, this is our propaganda. So understanding how the demigods are part of the whole is very nicely explained in the Brahma Samhita. Excuse me. In the 14th text, it's described, Galoka namni nijadamli tate, tatasya devi maheshu haridama shute 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 te prabhavana chihaya vihatascha ina govindamari purushantam hamajami. The lowest of all is Devi Dham, mundane world. Next to Dham, the abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Dham is placed Hari Dham, the abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm named Galoka. I adore the primeval Lord who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those created realms. The last verse of the purport by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada describes the Supreme Lord Govinda by his own direct and indirect power has constituted those respective potencies of those realms. So maybe Vice Prabhu, you can, if you remember the Chaitanya Bhagavat or the Chaitanya Mangala, it's described that Lord Chaitanya, when he was on pilgrimage, went to the temple of Lord Shiva and also of Durga Devi. And just like sometimes Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Radharani, so he took on the mood and offered prayers. He offered this prayer at the temple of Durga Mata from the Brahma Samhita. So I'd like to read this verse also to clarify and understand. There's great information here, and I'll read the purport by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And if any of you have looked at the Brahma Samhita, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's purports are sometimes so scholarly, they're very, very difficult to follow. But we're lucky that this one is pretty much, even for us, they're not so sophisticated. It's very nice and informative, so we'll read this. Text 44 is, Shristi stiti pralaya sadhana shaktareka chaye vyasya bhuvanani vibharti durga ichchana rupam apiyasya chate stite sa govindamari purusham tamaham jami. The external potency of Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Purport. The aforesaid presiding deity of Devidam described. The world, meaning this mundane world, which Brahma takes a stand and hymns the Lord of Galoka, meaning offering prayers to the Lord of Galoka, is Devidam, consisting of the 14 worlds, and Durga is its presiding deity. She is 10-armed, representing the 10-fold fruit of activities. She rides on the lion, representing her heroic prowess. She tramples down Mahisasura, representing the subduer of vices. She is the mother of two sons, Kartikeya and Ganesh, representing beauty and success. She is placed between Lakshmi and Saraswati, representing mundane opulence and mundane knowledge. She is armed with 20 weapons, representing the various pious activities enjoined by the Vedas for suppression of vices. She holds the snake, representing the beauty of destructive time. Such is Durga, possessing all these manifold forms. Durga, with a long A at the end, is possessed of Durga, which means a prison house. When jivas begotten of the marginal potency, Tathastha Shakti, forget the service of Krishna, they are confined in the mundane prison house, citadel of Durga. The wheel of karma is the instrument of punishment in this place. The work of purifying these penalized jivas is the duty devolved upon Durga. She is incessantly engaged in discharging the same by the will of Govinda. when luckily the forgetfulness of Govinda on the part of the imprisoned jivas is remarked by them by coming in contact with self-realized souls and their natural aptitude for the loving service of Krishna is aroused, Durga herself then becomes the agency of their deliverance by the will of Govinda. Durga Mataji Ki Jai. So it behooves everyone to obtain the guileless grace of Durga, the mistress of this prison house, by propitiating her with the selfless service of Krishna. So Prabhupada used to say, by watering the root of the tree, all purposes are fulfilled. So Durga Devi, Durga Mata, is automatically propitiated or pleased. How? By the selfless service of Krishna. Now this is an interesting part which describes a different aspect of Durga, the Durga of this world, and the people that Durga, the expansion of Durga that people worship, which has 10 forms. So this is going to describe when people are worshiping Durga separately from materialistic, to fulfill materialistic desires. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj continues, the boons received from Durga in the shape of wealth, property, recovery from illness, of wife and sons, should be realized as the deluding kindness of Durga. The mundane psychical jubilations of the Dasa Mahavidya. Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada's words, the mundane psychical jubilations, the mental joy one thinks that he might get from material happiness. The meaning of mundane psychical jubilations of the Dasa Mahavidya, the 10 goddesses or forms of Durga are elaborated for the delusion of the fettered souls of this world. So just as it's described later in Brahma Samhita, that Srimati Radharani expands her potencies. So also Durga Deva expands into different forms in this world. Jiva is a spiritual atomic part of Krishna. When he forgets his service of Krishna, he is at once deflected by the attracting power of Maya in this world, who throws him into the whirlpool of mundane fruitive activity, karma, by confining him in a gross body constituted by the 5 material elements, their 5 attributes, and 11 senses, resembling the garb of a prisoner. In this whirlpool, Jiva has experience of happiness and misery, heaven and hell. Besides this, there is a subtle body consisting of the mind, intelligence, and ego inside the gross body. By means of the subtle body, the jiva forsakes one gross body and takes recourse to another. The jiva cannot get rid of the subtle body full of nescience and evil desires unless and until he is liberated. On getting rid of the subtle body, he bathes in the viraja and goes up to Haridam. Such are the duties performed by Durga in accordance with the will of Govinda. In the Bhagavat Sloka, the relationship between Durga and the conditioned soul has been described. Durga, worshipped by the people of this mundane world, is the Durga as described above. But the spiritual Durga, mentioned in the mantra, which is the outer covering of the spiritual realm of the Supreme Lord, is the eternal maidservant of Krishna, and is therefore the transcendental reality whose shadow, the Durga of this world, functions in this mundane world as her maidservant. So the science of Sambandha Gyan, understanding our relationship to Krishna, the relationship to each other, the relationship to matter, the relationship to the demigods, is all very clearly spelled out by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and our Guru Varga. So this potency, this knowledge, this Divigana that's revealed is meant to bring us to the point of experiencing Vaikuntha even in this world. Prabhupada said this is our mission, that by the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, this process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, as mentioned in this verse, is pious activity. And by pious activity, one material desires are stopped. That's actually the benediction. It's not that we're performing some type of sacrifice to increase our material entanglement in this world. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that the intelligent person does not take pleasure in the sources. So one has to have some discrimination. and understand what is the source of happiness and what is the source of distress. Real intelligence is described as being understanding what is matter, what is spirit, and who is the controller of both. So this is all very confidential knowledge that Krishna has given us. And he says, he promises that even if we aren't so intelligent, if we worship him with love, he'll give us the knowledge by which we can reach him from within our heart. So it's described that the devotee is a kind friend of all living entities. And Krishna's ultimate friend, Sarvabhutanam. But we, as samples of and sparks of Krishna, we should also be the kind friend of all living entities and encourage each other. I feel so happy to come to Vrindavan and feel encouraged by all the devotees here. It's a wonderful thing that when we become non-envious, you see the devotees that are non-envious, they want to see everybody else succeed. An envious person, he doesn't want to see anyone succeed. He wants to be on top. He wants everyone else to be below him. But a person who is non-envious, he's very happy when other people make advancement. He's very happy to see the only... like when Prabhupada... I'm diverting here for a second, but in our experience with Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada would look into your eyes, you would feel you would feel almost stunned. It was almost like, have you ever seen a picture of a lighthouse? And the light of the lighthouse is going around, but when the light of the lighthouse hits you, it's almost blinding, and then the light moves on. So when you would get the darshan of Srila Prabhupada, he would look into your eyes, and you could feel that he was looking straight into your soul. And you couldn't hide anything. But even though you might feel like, oh my God, all my secrets are exposed, but Prabhupada's look was of such compassion and such love that his only desire was for you to learn how to love Krishna. That was his motive. That was his... You could feel that he didn't want anything for himself. All he wanted you to be connected to Krishna, for you to learn to love Krishna. This was his mood, and that you felt that compassion. So when Prabhupada, being completely non-envious, you could feel this, and he would sign his letters as your well-wisher. So we also want to be everyone's ever-well-wisher. We see devotees doing nice things, and we should feel joyous. So trying to give up this non-envious nature, and this happens, according to this verse, automatically. When we hear and chant the message of the Lord is there in his transcendental vibration. And that, by that satisfaction, we can give up our enmity to all conditioned souls and see everyone as a part of Krishna. So this is the wonderful knowledge we're given from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the wonderful example we've been given by the pure devotees, his divine grace, who live this. And we saw so many features of his divine grace, his brilliance. As a new devotee, as an old devotee, you know, not so old, but I was amazed that Prabhupada had unlimited verses at his command. You see the Prabhupada Shloka book, how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses are there? Prabhupada would just quote. So we'd see that Prabhupada as a brilliant scholar. We'd see him as the most humble. We'd see him as someone completely attached in love to Krishna, in love with Krishna, and the point that feeling and suppressing his symptoms of ecstasy. But sometimes his symptoms of ecstasy would show. There was a devotee in the Los Angeles temple who was standing next to the door when Prabhupada would come from his quarters or upstairs, and so he would come downstairs in the old temple room in Los Angeles for the Govindam prayers. So, and then he would pay his obeisances in front of each of the deities, and they'd look up at Lord Nrsimhadev, pay his obeisances, give his respects, then sit on the altar. So Prabhupada was always ecstatic. But the first time, in the LA temple room, it used to be filled, so it would be like a cloud of incense, of like this frankincense. So it was a very celestial kind of, non-earthly kind of atmosphere when Prabhupada would come and to greet the deities. So the very first time that the Govindam prayers were played, Jamuna Devi had recorded this, and the first time that the Govindam prayers were played for the greeting of the deities, when Prabhupada heard the Govindam prayers, immediately he opened his eyes, and a devotee that was sitting right next to him said he saw tears of ecstasy not come down Prabhupada's face but shoot out of his eyes. His ecstatic symptoms were being exhibited, but he would keep those under wrap because it's not meant for the general public, but you could feel Prabhupada's love and his devotion and his kindness and his strength. And Prabhupada, because of that, became the most beautiful. So we're grateful, very grateful to have that association, and that Prabhupada has given us this Divyagan that we can, so that this world we can live, even in this world we can experience Vaikuntha, we can experience life without anxiety, life without fear. And Prabhupada, even though he pushed us to do more and more, he never wanted us to become satisfied with a comfortable life. As you know, becoming a devotee, you think, oh, I got to shave my head, oh my God, or I got to wear a dhoti, I got to follow the four regular principles, I got to get up early in the morning. It doesn't stop there. Initiation means the beginning. So Prabhupada wanted us to distribute books or go on traveling sankirtan. So Prabhupada was always pushing us to surrender more and more because he knew that's our real position, that's where our real happiness lies, in that surrender. So Prabhupada is our ever well wisher, as his duty as our guru, to push us to come to that point of purity. So we're ever grateful for that, and that Prabhupada has given us so many temples, so many of our god brothers and their disciples, their grand disciples, so much devotee association. And finally, I'd like to wrap up. The devotee here has asked just to have two shorts, Trip to Vrindavan. Prabhuji is making a book about the history of Vrindavan. So somehow or another, I was in a fortunate position to be invited to come for the temple opening in 1975. I had come to India as a brahmachari and from the Laguna Temple, and Prajumna Prabhu, who had been staying in Laguna Temple, we had been cooking Lasta feast, and Prajumna was there fasting. And we'd hear Prajumna Prabhu translating, and this is Prabhupada's Panditji. So he would stay downstairs, and sometimes we'd hear him say, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai, Jai! And we were thinking, what's going on? Because he's in the room alone. But he was doing some translation work for Srila Prabhupada, and he said, whenever translation work is being done, Krishna is personally present. So he was feeling this, being empowered by Prabhupada, he was feeling this wonderful presence of Krishna. So somehow we met at that time, so he said, oh, you're a cook, why don't you come to Vrindavan or open the temple? You should organize the temple kitchen. So I said, okay, yeah, I had no idea. I just felt that blessing. So we came. We came a little before the devotees that had come from Mayapur. So he said, okay, so here's the kitchen. And the kitchen was empty. And he said, okay, there's some other devotees coming to help, but we're going to have the installation fees for the deities here. So you're going to cook 108 preparations. And there's going to be 10 plates because we have for Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Gornitai and Krishna Balaram and Radha Shamasunda and Lalita Vishaka. So we're going to have 10 plates to start with. So it's 1,080 portions. And here's your kitchen. So when I looked at the kitchen, there was two buckets of coal that were you could cook on and a little two-burner stove. So I thought, okay, how are we going to cook 108 preparations? I was a little distressed at feeling that it'd be very, very difficult. So I asked Prajumna, I said, you sure we have to cook 108 preparations? He said, yes, it's in the Shastra. It's the opening of the temple. It must be done. So then I was panicking. So then he went to Prabhupada. He came and told me later, he said, he went to Prabhupada and said, our cook is new here and he's feeling that he's maybe going to have a little trouble making this huge feast for the opening. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. Let's just let them do whatever they can do. So when he told me that, it completely took off all the pressure. And Prabhupada just felt like we just make this offering from the heart. And so many devotees came. And Apurva and Gopati and one devotee that we knew from Laguna had lived here. His name was Shankadas. He himself made 30 preparations, made 30 chutneys. So it turns out that by Krishna's grace and Prabhupada's mercy, we made more than 108 preparations. And our only difficulty was getting them on the altar on time. For the opening, we had all the plates stacked up. We had it all going up the stairs, all the portions. We started a half hour before bringing everything in. And we still had half to go of all these 1,080 portions. Then Prabhupada walked in to do the artik. So then we had to stop. But everything was there. And of course, that famous picture that you see, Prabhupada doing the artik, the first artik for Krishna Balaram, was totally ecstatic.
It was wonderful. So we felt by Prabhupada's grace all this had one other story. At that same time, the Prabhupada was giving darshan in his room. So we were all young devotees, and we had heard how, you know, the last snare of Maya is to think that one has become God and actually imitate Krishna. So Prabhupada's giving nice darshan, and I'm standing by the door. He's kind of observing. And then this young man walks in. Doesn't pay his obeisances. He kind of surveys the thing, surveys the whole atmosphere. Prabhupada's sitting, he's talking. Kind of walks in, completely disregards the whole situation. Well, not only did he walk in like that, but he was completely dressed as Krishna. He had blue powder on his face, he had a turban, he had a peacock feather, he had a flute, he had a yellow dhoti. So, in my mature enthusiasm, I was looking at him and thinking, oh my God, Prabhupada's going to be so upset. Here this person is imitating Krishna. He's walking right in front of Prabhupada, not bowing down, not anything. And I thought, I looked at Prabhupada like, should we throw him out on his ear? He's a rascal. What should we do? And Prabhupada kind of glanced. He was very calm. And he looked at him very kindly. And he started speaking with him very gently. And the whole conversation was in Hindi. Prabhupada looked at him with great happiness and just non-enviousness. And in Prabhupada's way, he spoke to him very nicely. And then this person just kind of wandered out. So I thought that was a very interesting pastime, how Prabhupada interacted with everyone completely in a loving mood. So we're very blessed, and I'm very thankful for the devotees that are so generous to host all of us coming to visit and make us feel so at home. And all I can say is thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. So any comments and anything to we can add? Hare Krishna, all the devotees of the Lord, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai, ki jai, Shri Krishna Balaram, ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundar, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.
I thought you were asking for comments.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. Excellent class, and Hare beautiful. Krishna. Very captivating. Thank you very much, Bhojadeep.
Thank you, Prabhu.
I like the section.
One second, Prabhu. Vaishnava Prabhu just wanted to make a comment. Go ahead.
The section you read from the Brahma Samhita about the expansions of Durga and how she's her shadow is here. I thought it was interesting how you were connecting the Durga to the spiritual world. I was just remembering when you said that, how in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Kamakya Devi, who is the family deity of the Jyotishtapur Brahmana, visited that Brahmana. The family used to worship Kamakya Devi, who's an expansion of Durga Devi. And one evening, she visited the Brahmana in a dream and gave him a Krishna mantra and told him to chant it. And so it's interesting that she becomes, and later on it turns out that, and it's explained by Sanatana Goswami, how Radharani is expanding herself. All the Shaktis originally come from Radharani, so she can work through the agency of Durga or Kamakya Devi to deliver souls to the lotus feet of Krishna. Just kind of an illustration of that point, of how those who are eager to find Krishna can be delivered by the expansion.
It's true. It's true that actually, if I can find that exact, that instead of Durga as being the prison guard, she actually becomes the benefactor to release us from the prison. But she tests us. That is her job. That this material energy. So she is actually, looked in that way. Yeah, it becomes a great. It gives us great blessings. So that's a very nice example of that expansion working in that way. It's a matter of a vision. It's a matter of vision where if we want to be exploiters or if we want to become servants. As soon as we become servants, it said, like for a pure devotee, all the demigods
are assisting. Prabhupada says there's an invisible line of cooperation between all the demigods and a pure devotee of the Lord, because they're there to assist in the selfless service of the Supreme Lord. So we can see how this, once we transfer this to selfless, we get all support. And everything becomes perfect. Thank you for that nice example. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.